Welcome to the Frank Online Marketing Show. I'm Temma Frank, your host. Do you suffer from gift card anxiety? You know, people have given you gift cards, even to places you really love to shop at, but you just never get around to it. You've got this bulging bag or pocket or wallet full of cards, and you just don't seem to be able to get around to using them. And of course, the day when you do manage to get to one of those stores, you don't have the right card with you. You know that feeling? I sure do. Well, today's guest, Frances Ho, is the co-founder of a company called Cardswap.ca, and she was dealing with exactly that issue. So she set up an online business to help her solve the problem. The way her business works is you can sell your unused or partially used cards, and you can buy others, as well as earning loyalty points on what you buy, so you end up getting even greater value out of your unused cards. Sounds to me like a good idea. Personally, I think we should just give the universal gift card, i.e. cash. But as Frances and I discussed, this just isn't acceptable in our culture. In the interview, we talked about how they overcame the challenge of building trust. And that was certainly a big challenge because they needed to get people to mail in valuable cards, cards that were really as good as cash, with no guarantee other than her promise that the company would actually pay for them. So that's a fairly substantial hurdle, and yet they did manage to overcome it, and in the interview we'll talk about how they did that. We also talk in the interview about the changes that are about to hit this industry as we move towards paying with cell phones, which is definitely coming and sooner than you might think. Before I get into the interview, I'd just like to thank IBM Canada for sponsoring the Frank Online Marketing Show. And now for the interview, and I'll talk to you after that.
Our website is cardswap.ca, and we're basically an online service for Canadians to buy and sell gift cards.
And so how exactly does it work?
I'll tell you how the idea started. I basically had a wallet full of gift cards, and every year I'd add one or two in. I'd make sure to keep them in my special wallet because I didn't want to lose them. And at some point, I had a few $1,000 worth of gift cards in that wallet.
How much?
A few thousand.
Okay, yeah.
And after I got married, a few more went in there, and I said, you know what, I'm never going to use these gift cards. I'd rather just have cash for it so that I can actually go to the store that I actually do go shopping at. And when I looked at my options, I could go on to Craigslist, list my cards on there. I'd get a lot of lowballers calling in, saying, oh, what about this, what about that, meeting someone at a mall, and basically having to do that several times was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't really, and there was eBay, but it wasn't a service that was specifically designed for gift cards because gift cards actually have value on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were weary about, well, is there money on the card? How do I know? Stuff like that. And that's really the genesis of where Cardswap came, more out of a problem, a personal problem that I had. And when I researched it, the gift card market was a $6 billion market, and one in five gift cards go unredeemed every single year. And so I decided, you know what, this is a problem that other Canadians have, and that it's a good place to start an online business and to serve a niche.
When you guys went on Dragon's Den, one of the dragons made the comment that there are other companies doing this. How is yours different?
He was referring to USite. There are no companies doing this in Canada.
That was my guess, but it didn't really come out that clearly in the show. And why do you think no one else is doing it in Canada? Just because no one had got there yet? Or
I don't know.
You're happy.
Yeah.
When exactly did you launch the site?
We launched, this will be our fourth Christmas. So we launched December 2009.
All right. And how has it been going since then?
It's been amazing. I mean, I started out of my kitchen. And, you know, during the daytime, I turned it into an office. And then I turned it back into my house at nighttime. And we grew to the point where, you know, press wanted to come in and do interviews. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't really have a proper office. You know, I'm still working out of my kitchen. And so that's when I decided, you know what, time for me to get an office.
What have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced as you've been growing this thing?
I think the biggest challenge that Cardswap faces is really educating the consumer that there is a service for this problem and that you don't have to hang on to gift cards you're not going to use, and that we're a reputable company to trust us that we are going to send money back to you after you mail us your gift card.
Yeah, so how does that work? So people mail you a card and they just have to take it on faith that you will actually send them the money?
Yeah. You know, and we do get calls saying, you know, how do we trust you? What's your company? You know, what is your other people's experiences? And so having over 10,000 Facebook fans really helps that. And those are from customers who have used us and experienced us, and know what type of service that we provide. And so whenever people come on and sometimes have questions, there's other people who actually respond to them.
Yeah, okay.
Which is really great. So I think we've really developed a CardSwap community where there's a lot of people who come on to our Facebook and participate in our daily sort of games or our promotions, and really are advocates for the CardSwap service.
How did you overcome that fear at the very beginning before you had that kind of Facebook following?
When people would call in, they would still ask, how do I trust you? And I think when someone actually picks up the telephone for an online company, that's a big thing.
Right.
You could reach us anytime, which is really important. We make sure that any inquiries that come through email are responded to within 24 hours. So a company that provides very good response rate, and the questions answered very professionally in an timely manner, people feel much better about.
Tell me about how you built your Facebook fan page, and do you use other social media for marketing as well?
We mostly use Facebook. I have about 2,000 Twitter followers. That gives an update on what cards are available, but really it's mostly through Facebook. And we built those fans up one at a time.
Wow.
Like, we grew by going through blogs and getting them to do reviews on us. And those are real customers who either saw us through Dragon's Den or follow a blog who's done a review on us. So there was no secret on getting those followers. It's hard work, and you know, we try to keep them happy by giving them deals and special things that they can only get.
So how much time do you spend on an average day dealing with the social media side of things?
Probably a couple hours a day.
Have you ever had to deal with customers claiming that you took their stuff and didn't pay them? Claiming maybe it got lost in the mail or that you took it and simply didn't pay them?
We did have one gift card ever that actually took the person that sent it in. We didn't receive it after a month, so we thought it had got lost in the mail. We received that card about 3 months later. So we've received I don't know, sometimes Canada Post, I'm not sure what happens there, but we have received every single card that has been sent to us. Sometimes there's a delay in us receiving it, but we've received every single card. And what we do provide is a prepaid shipping label. So people like that because not a lot of people have stamps at home anymore. So all they need to do is cut out that prepaid shipping label and glue it to any old envelope and drop it in a mailbox, which you can pretty much find anywhere.
Oh, that's a good idea. So that makes it a lot easier for people to work with.
Yeah, exactly.
How long had you been doing it before you came up with that idea?
We pretty much implemented the prepaid shipping label as soon as we knew about the service. So we've had it for a while.
Very cool. What are some of the things that surprised you as you were trying to build this?
Most people think about gift cards for gifting purposes when they want to buy gift cards, and only during the holiday times or a birthday or, you know, a special occasion, people end up buying a gift card to give away. However, on our site, we actually provide really good value for shopping on our site, and we reward our consumers with points, which they're able to redeem for more gift cards. So they're essentially just stretching their dollar. So if you spend about, on average, $250, you'll earn a $10 reward card back, which is amazing. Because if you look at other sort of loyalty programs, you need to spend $2,000 to $3,000 to receive $10 back. What we found was people are actually using us for their own everyday shopping. And they're not just using these gift cards for gifting. So if they know, you know, I love to shop at retailer A, and they see a gift card on our site that's available with a reward value on there, they'll buy it for self-use. And that's what we find is people not only buying for gifting, but more so for self-use. Like, we get a lot of groceries and gas gift cards and just sort of staples on our site, and people come on and buy those all the time.
Hmm. What kind of criteria do you have about which gift cards and which company's gift cards you'll accept?
We wanted to make sure that we stayed with national retailers.
Okay.
So that when people came onto the site, they would see brands that they recognize, and they wouldn't have to say, oh, what is this store? What is this restaurant? And so if you see it at a mall, or it's a large retailer with 50 to 100 stores in Canada, those are the stores that we provide gift cards for.
Why do you think, this has always perplexed me about how people, they have a barrier towards actually giving somebody cash as a gift, but they don't have a problem with giving a gift card for a specified cash value. Based on your experience in working with gift cards and people using them, why do you think that is?
I think it's just really a cultural difference, actually. A lot of Asian countries, giving cash is perfectly fine and acceptable and expected. I think just on the Western world, it's not as, I guess they would think, as thoughtful. So one would say, yes, that's practical, love it, give it to me. And the other one, the train of thought is, it wasn't thoughtful. What people really want is to know that when someone's given a gift, that they put some sort of effort into it, and they put some thought into it. And I think choosing a gift card to a specific store that I know is your favorite store, that's what counts. Is me going out there saying, okay, I know she loves to read books. I'm going to definitely get her, you know, a gift card to a place where she can buy the books that she wants.
Now, if there are things like Visa gift cards, which are that much closer to being cash because you could send them almost anywhere, what do you think is the evolution of that going to be? That potentially could undermine your business, could it not?
All prepaid Visas charge a activation fee of about $4 to $7 per card. So I think that the gifter would rather have that fee waived and actually choose a card to a specific store. And I really think that's where the thought comes in as well.
Right. Okay.
Is choosing a store that I know that you like.
And yet, obviously, if there's so many gift cards people are trying to get rid of, our knowing that you like it is often wrong, I guess, eh?
What they think sometimes may not be actuality. You know, I had a lovely lady call up and say, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? I have a $300 steakhouse gift card and I'm a vegetarian. What am I going to do with this? And, you know, it's like stories like that that really kind of put a smile to your face sometimes. Like, yep, that's what we're here for.
I suppose it's not quite as bad. I'm allergic to nuts and I was forever getting... when I worked in a bank and suppliers who I dealt with would come and bring Christmas gifts, and of course they were nut baskets over and over again. So, you know, my secretary loved it.
The intention is good.
Yeah.
It's right. But sometimes they just don't get it bang on, and I think that's where our service comes in.
Right. Now, I understand that you do have some kind of angel or venture investment that's been made in the company. How did that work and how is it working out for you? What are the advantages and stresses that brings when you're building your business?
I think that an external investor really keeps you accountable to your goals.
Okay.
And they give you a great reflection on what you have achieved and what you still have to achieve and if it's realistic or not. So I think that perspective and accountability is great.
What are your plans for the company? Where do you see it evolving?
The gift card industry has really evolved. It started with gift certificates and now it's moved into gift cards, which everyone's familiar with, the plastic gift cards. And now it's moving again into electronic gift cards and mobile gift cards.
Yeah.
And so the industry is going to change tremendously. People are going to accept, you know, as a birthday gift, someone sending you a card with an electronic gift card attached to it. And you being able to download that right into your smartphone, go into the store and use it, or go online and use it. And that's really where the industry is moving, to having our smartphones be NFC enabled and being able to attach not only gift cards to it, but credit cards and account to our phones. And that's coming.
Does it exist in Canada yet?
The technology is, I think, there. Like, you know, when you tap your card, your MasterCard, PayPass sort of thing, that's NFC enabled. So the technology is there. And I think that in the next year or two, you're really going to see the retailers who want to stay at the forefront be switching to a different sort of point of sale system, which is going to be able to accept smartphones. You'll be able to add coupons or push personalized promotions into people who I know have, for example, a book gift card. Okay, so I know that they like that. Let me push them with this sort of promotion to get them into the store. So I think retail is really going to change. And as people already use their smartphones so much, it's going to be really a way of not just communication, but of payment as well.
Actually, that's a really interesting point, because if you know that somebody, let's say, has a gift card for your store, and if you have a way to have their contact information, then yeah, you could push out advertising for them for precisely the right value.
We are really excited about that. We're already integrated with the Apple Passbook, so anyone who buys gift cards on CardSwap was able to basically download the numbers onto their Passbook, onto their Apple iPhone. Right now, it's just keeping track of the numbers,
right.
But once the retailers are able to accept it, saying, okay, here's my gift cards on my phone, and either scanning that or typing that in, we're already enabling people to download their codes onto their phone.
That's very exciting. Now, how will that affect your business, though, if people, well, you won't need to be sending out shipping labels, I guess.
Exactly. It's going to make it that much more efficient. It's like, do you want to sell this gift card to CardSwap? Yes. And instantly we would get the numbers with the associated value to it. And does somebody else want to buy it? Yes. And we could just basically send out electronic numbers to somebody else. So in essence, what I see the future of CardSwap is we're just emailing out digits that have value on them.
Cool. That's really interesting. You could almost at that point then set it up sort of an online auction, a real-time auction, couldn't you? Or would that not make sense?
I mean, we could do that as well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, pricing is always interesting, and some people like the auction factor of it, and some people just give me the price. What's the price? You know? And so we've actually built our site to have a little bit of both on there, so you'll see a lot of price fluctuation on our site built in-house, and a pricing algorithm that always makes things sort of exciting and changing, and it's really based on a lot of things, including demand, supply, the amount of the gift card, season of it, how many gift cards we sold in the past, what the amount was, and so things are always fluctuating on our site as well, and we want to keep it that way to keep it interesting for people.
Well, that's interesting. So if I go on your site tomorrow, I may not see the same price for the same gift card that I saw today?
No. Yeah, really? Pricing can go right down to an individual.
So do you have mathematicians or statisticians working with you on developing these algorithms?
I pretty much do. We have an amazing team here. My co-founder has an MBA from Harvard. He does all the pricing and algorithm and does all that fun mathematician stuff that he loves and you know, keeps him up at night and, you know, gets him excited. So it's perfect.
It's great to have a partner like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how did you determine then what kind of price differential you could or should be offering between what you're paying for a card and what you're selling it at?
Again, it's based on the algorithm. So we will determine based on demand, supply, you know, and how fast that gift card sold previously and the price that it sold at, and that will affect what we offer for the next card. So if we knew that these types of cards just didn't sell well, and we didn't make as much of a margin as we wanted to, or we made too much of a margin, we will change the pricing. So it's sort of artificial intelligence. It'll actually change the pricing all the time.
Presumably, January becomes a very busy time of year for you. Is that so?
It's very interesting because in December, everyone's buying gift cards. It's the gift card season. So everyone was buying gift cards for gifting. And not only for gifting, but a lot of people use gift cards as a vehicle for tax savings, actually. So a lot of times gift cards can be written off. And so we get a lot of people buying gift cards from us in December. And then in January, we were extremely surprised because we thought January is, everyone knows, a slow retail month. Everyone's done shopping. Everyone's sort of burnt out, got the bills in, and they're like, oh, okay, you know, what am I going to do with this bill? But we're even busier in January because everyone's selling us gift cards. And then people are even buying those gift cards. And so we actually get busier in January than we are in December, which is great because we don't really follow the full retail cycle.
That's a nice thing. Yeah, no, I figured you'd be busy with people selling them. I didn't realize that there would also be a lot of people buying them at that time of year. But I guess they get cash back on things they've returned and think of this as a way to possibly spend it. I don't know. What do you think is the barrier to entry? I mean, I know when people are looking at investing, they want to know, what do you have that prevents other people from just stealing the idea?
I think first-time mover is definitely a big thing. And I think a lot of things, it's consumer trust, definitely, is the second. So based on our Facebook fans and just all our media coverage, people will feel that they can trust us. And third is, we know how to price things right because we've had 3 years of pricing.
If I'm giving a card to somebody that I've bought through your service, how do you avoid it looking like a used card? I mean, I know they don't necessarily get shop worn looking, but let's say there's no longer $50 on it, there's $27.34. I mean, how do you avoid the person I'm giving it to thinking, she's giving me something that was used already?
We straight out say that these gift cards that we're getting are from other people, and they may be credit notes, they may be a little scratch, but we guarantee the value on them. People understand that they have to give something to get something. If they're getting all these points, which are very, very valuable, that they're getting free gift cards from, they understand that the card is not going to be perfect.
I think it's really interesting what you're doing, and it's going to be very exciting to see how this evolves. As you say, it's a time of huge change in this industry, so it'll be fun watching how you come along with that. Thank you for your time. I did some research several years ago for the Bank of America on the sort of mobile payment systems that I think are coming soon to our part of the world. Now, the Bank of America was quite a bit ahead of its time, so the project didn't fly then. But I think that we really are almost at a turning point now when it comes to mobile payments. They already exist in many parts of the world, and the reasons for them to exist here are pretty compelling, and the technology is really getting to the point where it's becoming quite feasible. I hadn't, though, really thought about the potential of mobile gift cards until this interview, and it caught me thinking about the amazing potential that that gives to marketers. It gives them a whole bunch more information that they can track about you. It gives them the potential to target you with advertising at the perfect time, in the perfect place, to get you in the store. You're not going to be as resistant to it if you know you've got a credit for $25 or $50 sitting in your pocket as you walk by, and they give you a handy little reminder of that fact. They hope that once you're in the store, you'll end up buying even more than the value of the card. So this is going to happen. But in the meantime, and after it happens, it'll still be really crucial for anyone who wants to do business online that you establish trust with your customers and potential customers. This is one of the most crucial things that you need to focus on if you want to sell online successfully. There are a few things that you can do that will really help. One of them is encouraging feedback and replying to it promptly. Frances talked about that in the interview, and she commented particularly on the importance of having someone around to answer phone calls. I found that with Web Mystery Shoppers as well. Mystery shopping is a business where, unfortunately, there are just way too many scams out there. And so I would quite regularly get phone calls from people just really wanting to be reassured that there was a legitimate person at the other end of the phone line. Also, having fast, honest, open reactions to even bad things that happen really helps build credibility with your audience and with your potential customers. That is ever more crucial as social media becomes a bigger and bigger factor. The speed at which things move, there will be mistakes. It's inevitable. So the key is you've got to be fast and honest and open in replying to them. It's also very important that you have a professional-looking website and that you have clear, plain language content on that website. In fact, to the extent that it's possible, even get your legal agreements to be written in plain, readable English or French or whatever language you're working in. I know that's really tough. I've had many a battle with my lawyers trying to get the Web Mystery Shoppers agreements down to something somewhat reasonable instead of the 6 legal size pages of 8-point type they'd originally given me. Ease of use is crucial. Your website has to be super clean, super easy to use so that people don't get confused, because confusion will just lead to them not trusting you. Another thing that really helps if you're selling products online or even if you're selling services is to have tools on your website that compare features and compare benefits of your product versus the competition's or of different levels of your own product. To the extent that you can, though, do include the competition. That gives you an immense amount of credibility, the fact that you are head-on talking about what are their strengths, what are your strengths, and why they might choose to deal with you instead of with your competitors. Also, join the conversation on related sites and in social media. For instance, with Web Mystery Shoppers, we go online and chat in discussion forums where people are talking about mystery shopping. We've always done things like warning customers about scams, because, as I noted earlier, scams do happen a lot in that business. So we do things like that, again, to try to establish that sense of trust. If you go to frankonlinemarketing.com, look in the show notes for this, and you'll see I will also link you to an article I'd written previously about 6 trust tools you can use to help you win new customers. And you'll find some other ideas in there. That's all for today. I look forward to chatting with you next week. And in the meantime, please, please, please send me your feedback, your comments, your questions. I'd really love to hear from you. Bye for now.